Blog Talk Radio.
My love, I offer you now my heart and all it can give. For just as long as I live, I'm yours. No arms but yours, dear, will do. My lips will always be true. My eyes can see only you. I'm yours. And as the years roll along, your joy, your tears, I gladly share. And when things go wrong, dear, just hold out your hand, and I'll be there with every beat of my heart, with every breath that I take. Now and forever, sweetheart, I'm yours.
And as the years roll along, your joy and tears I'll gladly share. And when things go wrong, dear, just hold out your hand, and I'll be there.
With every beat of my heart, with every breath that I take, now and forever, sweetheart, I'm yours.
Oh yeah, a cappella, guys. A cappella, on pitch, every note. And then the speaking part was timed out perfect. Oh, I like that. You could get lost in that song real easy. Take my word for it. Well, hey, guys. It's Thursday again already, and it's gotten cold again here. And by cold, I mean like 60 degrees during the day outside, but that doesn't happen until 2 or 3 p.m. It was down to 32 this morning at 8 a.m. My goodness. I can't believe this. The sun starts coming up about 7, and yet 8 a.m. is usually the coldest temperature of the night. I haven't figured that one out yet. I really haven't. Seems to me when it starts getting light, it should start warming up, but maybe it has something to do with humidity. I don't know. Anyway, I'll get used to it. The first year is always the hardest in a new climate. After that, you kind of, you know, you adjust. Your blood thins or thickens or whatever you need it to do. It needs to get thicker here. I should check into a natural thing to oomph up my blood. But you know, because I sit here and I'm cold. Last week, this is what's so hard to get used to mostly, is that last week I had one day that was 80 degrees here. And the coolest day last week was 75. And then all of a sudden this week, Monday, okay, you're getting somewhere in the 50s and 60s during the day, down into the 30s at night. Now, tonight, tomorrow night, it's going to get down to 28. And it's like, make up your mind. What is with that? How can it be 75 and 80 one week, and then the next week you're freezing to death? I don't know. But that's Georgia for you. So, whatever. So, that's okay. Wow. And I was just telling you, Sue, that I talked with my ex-brother-in-law, and We still insist that he's my brother. We like it that way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He's a stable one, and he did not have a real good opinion of my ex-husband, so that was kind of nice to find out. He never said anything while we were together, but now that he's gone, he felt that he could tell me, and we agree. We agree, so, hey, it's all good. But I told him about my broken tooth, and like a sweetheart of a brother, he just jumped right in there and says, let me send you some money to take care of that, honey, and then you won't have to worry about it. And I says, that's real good, because I don't know how I'm going to take care of it otherwise.
Well, that was very kind.
It really was. And my insurance company would pay for most of it, but probably not all of it, because it's a surgery. It's not an extraction. I've got to have the roots taken out. It broke off at the roots. But I thank you, Lord, that the roots are dead. There's no pain. So I'm okay with that. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
I just got to get him out. So I can do that now. I can do that now.
Yeah.
And he is going to be selling my ex's 57 Chevy at some point. But like the sweetheart he has agreed to give me part of the proceeds since my name is on the title.
Well, really, is it in good shape?
Not yet. It was in the process of being rebuilt, so it was a frame-up restoration. Everything was off. The frame was restored, and then they started restoring body parts. And
yeah.
It has been in process for about 25 years.
Huh.
But,
wow.
You know, so he can't get the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 that he would get if it was all put together and running. Okay? He's not going to get that.
Right.
But the engine is in it. The engine has been rebuilt from the inside out as well. But, you know, that's okay because he's going to give me 25%. We agreed on that because he's going to be doing all the work. He's going to be paying for somebody to put it all together and all that stuff. But he actually offered to send it to me in writing, so I don't have to just trust him.
Well, that was very sweet.
I think he has, I've always thought the world of him. I really have. But it's kind of like, you know, I love him to death. He has a heart made of gold, but if I had to live with him, I'd have to kill him. You know?
Oh, gosh.
Well, it's one of those things where we're both the eldest.
Yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't work out
so
good.
Where does he live?
He lives in Texas. Right now he's at my ex's house in Arizona, getting everything cleaned up and all that stuff. He's even decided he's probably going to keep the house as a winter place because it's just so hard to sell things for any kind of money right now. And I don't care. Go ahead. I don't want any part of that house. That's no big deal. I never did have – I don't even know where it is, so I don't care. Do what you want to. So he's going to get the house. So he wasn't reluctant to give me a portion of the car. But we worked out something that I think is fair because he's going to be putting in all the money and the work to get it put back together. So I can't begrudge him that. He can have a lion's share of that because he's got to recoup his costs. You know, that's just how it goes. He's a very good-hearted person. And we are going to keep in touch as brother and sister, and that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful because I love him to death. And it's just nice to know that his brother dying isn't going to kill that. I love that.
Right,
but with his opinion of his brother, it shouldn't kill it.
Well, there's no reason you can't be friends, that's for sure.
Exactly. Mm. Well, and we've always been really close, you know, even before my ex and I got married, Fred and I were very close. So, but it's always been a brother-sister thing. So it's comfortable. You know what I mean? It's comfortable.
Yeah.
Nothing else gets in the way. And that's a very special thing. That's a very special relationship. So
right.
I just want to let you guys know that. Just why? I don't know, because I don't have anybody else to tell, I guess.
Well, here we are. We're all ears.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I love it. Okay, I'm gonna play some. You know, this week I have been downloading, converting, and putting on a memory stick. First, it was all of the John J.B. Burroughs songs. I was amazed at how many of them there are.
I need a memory stick.
A USB drive.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I just call them memory sticks. I need one in my brain, too, but I don't have the USB port for it.
That's
so, you know.
What I meant. I need a memory stick, too.
Eat pretzels. It works. Not really, but it sounds good. Anyway, I made coleslaw yesterday, homemade coleslaw. That is so good. But it has to soak for a while, you know, work together. But, yeah, and then after I got that done, I started on the Elvis songs.
Mm.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, the 68 songs?
Oh, all of them. All of the Elvis songs. I just feel like I want to safeguard those in case YouTube gets a wild hair again and does something really funky.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to worry about that because I'll have them.
Cool.
That's what I'm looking for. And if they are in a memory that's completely separate from my computer, then YouTube doing whatever they're going to do is not going to affect what's on that drive because they
right.
don't have any access to it. They can't do anything to it. And I'm taking their code off of their song title. And they're probably going to be so mad at me if anybody's listening. But, you know, hey, guys, if you're going to be silly and mess with people, they're going to miss that. So, sorry.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Anyway, I'm in the midst of doing that. I need to buy, like, 4 more memory sticks. Because then when I do that, I want to transfer the rest of my music library onto a memory drive. And
right.
I've already got that one full. That one's already full. So I need about 4 more. But they're not expensive. You know, you can pay like $12.50, $13 for 2 of them. They're not expensive, so that's not a big problem.
Right.
But that's what I have been up to. So my back hurts just because I've been sitting in this stupid office chair for, 4 days running now? And I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean from 3 or 4 in the afternoon until 4 or 5 in the morning. I get up every once in a while and walk around. The first night I did that, I found out that is not a good idea. My feet swelled up and they hurt. They got numb. And it's like, okay, Jen, you can't be sitting in that stupid chair all that time. So I make sure about every 45 minutes or an hour 50, something like that, I get up, walk to the other end of the house and, I don't know, brush my teeth, splash my face, put on some moisturizer, brush my hair, go out in the kitchen, refresh my cup of coffee, and then come back in and sit down and do it some more for another 45 minutes or an hour. So it's working much better, much, much. My broken toe isn't purple. It went purple. It's not purple anymore. So getting up, moving around is good. Sitting in the chair for hour upon hour is not good. So just wanted to pass that along for you guys is don't sit at your computer all that time because it's going to bite you in the butt or in the foot
right.
or in the back or wherever it's going to get you. So that brings us to today. Holidays are done. Okay. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to sneak in a Christmas song every now and again, but we're not going to have a lot of them and we're not going to have a Christmas program until July. I'll make a Christmas in July show. I can't help it. It's, you know, going a whole year is just a little bit much. I can't do it. So I listen to Pentatonix doing their Drummer Boy all year long. Anyway, every once in a while, I'll just plug that sucker in and listen to it 3 or 4 times. I think they do such a bang-up great job on that. That's the song that got me hooked on Pentatonix. So if you're not familiar with that, bring it up on YouTube and listen to it. You'll get hooked too. So, okay. And that, there's a point behind that whole story, people. There really is. I'm not just trying to fill you in on my life. When I was doing the Elvis songs, I got all of them done up, all of the codes taken off, and have them transferred down to the USB drive. That was all done, and it's like, okay, now I have to cross-reference that to the complete list of his recorded songs that I have. So,
oh, good.
I started doing that. And a lot of them I had, there's a lot of them I don't have. And it's like, wow, how did I not have all of those? So anyway, I thought, oh, I haven't heard that one in a while. I haven't heard that one in a long time. Well, that one would be a good one to play, and we don't hear it very often. So guess what we're going to hear today? A lot of the songs that we just haven't heard very much. Now, I do have a few of them that we do hear, but it's like, oh, I got to play that type of stuff, you know? Well, with me, it's I got to play that type of stuff. You guys are just going to have to live with it. So, anyway, with that in mind, I did have last week, John sent me a recording of I'll Remember You with a live performance with an intro for the conductor, Joe Gargiulo. So I'm going to play that for you. And he says the introduction right there at the front, so it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, and I have somebody calling me. Let's see who it is.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing better than most, worse than a few. How about you?
Well, you probably say the same thing for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, it's always a good thing when you're enjoying your blessings, is it not?
Yes. Yes, it totally is. And it's always a good thing when you recognize your blessings as well as enjoying them.
If you're going to recognize your blessings, then you've got to recognize the truth. And when you listen to the truth, you're not listening to what man thinks that God is saying to you, but you're listening to him, and he tells you the truth every time. It's a win-win.
That's right. That's right. That's why I don't go to an organized church, because you sit there and you listen to what that preacher thinks. And I'm sorry. Who died and made him God? You know what I mean?
Good gracious. I'm telling you, Almighty God is the one who made you alive in him so that you can see the way God looks at you, and nobody can change it. I guarantee ain't nobody going to change the way God sees you.
Yep. And that's the good part about it. That's the good part about it. And when I'm saying stuff on my Sunday gospel show, I don't write it down. I don't formulate a sermon. I just, whatever God puts in my brain is what people, you know, it kind of falls out my mouth. That's what people hear. So that's how
beautiful.
It rolls. That's how it rolls. Well, hey, we're playing some music, honey. Are you going to stay with us and just talk? Are you just coming in to listen to some music, or what's up with you today?
I'm all about chitter chatter, because that's what matters. You know how we do it.
You think?
Obviously, it's happening right now. Oh, come on.
I can do that. I can do that. I like it when people call in and I can chat between songs, but you know what? If nobody calls me, they're just not able to, I can still sit here and talk. God gave me the talent to talk. All I got to do is open my mouth and words just kind of fall out. They just tumble over each other.
That's right. That's right. When those beautiful lips are opening and they're speaking the truth and love, It's coming from your heart. So you're telling on what God's doing in your heart because God's doing an amazing, wonderful work. And I know exactly what you're saying. Oh, come on, girlfriend. You ain't playing. No game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, let's play a song, okay? Let's play an Elvis song. I was just going to play the song called I'll Remember You, a live performance with an introduction for the orchestra leader. His name is Joe Garagiola. So let's get into that because that's pretty nice.
Our conductor is Mr. Joe Garagiola. Fantastic Joe Garagiola Orchestra. The song by Don Ho called I Remember You.
Let's bring up the charts. Take a minute.
It'll take about an hour and a half for him to get the charts brought up, so I'll just talk to him.
To your arms someday I return to stay.
Knowing that that was a live performance and he took the time to introduce his orchestra leader, I think that's totally cool. That's totally cool because not everybody did that. They just assumed, oh, they're getting paid. They're just supposed to stand there and do their job. It's no big deal. But no, Elvis always made sure that everybody got the recognition that they deserved. They're there helping him do his job the best way that he could. He wanted to make sure that they were recognized for that. I think that's fantastic, you know? I think everybody should do that because they don't do that on their own. They have those backup and support people that help them sound good. Of course, Elvis sounded good anyway when he was performing. He didn't need the orchestra. Anytime you hear him doing something a cappella, it's never off key. The timing is impeccable. He didn't need the orchestra. It just kind of added a fullness in the background. And I love listening to his a cappella songs. It just catches me as being so special, you know? Because not everybody can do that. I'm not so sure I can do that, you know? when you get a cappella and you got nothing keeping you on key, you're taking your chances. And sometimes those chances are pretty bad. So,
yeah.
They used to do this thing in chorus in high school. Well, they did it in grade school too. But where the teacher would totally say, okay, we're going to do this a cappella. And he gave us our starting notes for each part. And he took us through it a cappella. And I had to laugh because at the end, he would play our ending notes and they weren't even close. We, as a chorus or a choir, we couldn't stay on pitch to save our lives. But, you know, it did help us. Eventually, we got better at it, but we never got good at it. You know what I mean? And we had a student teacher once that had perfect pitch. Oh, Lord, that was hell. But me, I don't know if it helped anybody else. It helped me because you learned to listen to yourself. You learned to listen to the person next to you. And Lord bless her, she was my friend, but she couldn't stay on pitch to save her life. If she had to, you know, it's a good thing we didn't have a singing test of some kind during the year because they would have had to kick her out. And she was my friend, but she couldn't sing worth a lick. Poor thing. She could play the piano. I had her play the piano for me a couple of times. So that was pretty cool. But anyway, speaking of Elvis a cappella, this is one that really surprised me. I never expected this to be this good a cappella. Burning Love. Enjoy, folks.
Lord Almighty, feel my temperature rising. Higher, higher, it's burning through to my soul. Girl, 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 you're gonna set me on fire. My brain is flaming, and I don't know which way to go. Your kisses lift me higher, like the sweet song of a choir. You light my morning sky, burning love. Ooh, 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 I feel my temperature rising. Tell me I'm flaming, I must be a hungry tonight. Burning, 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 and nothing can cool me. Yeah, I just might turn to smoke, but I feel fine. Cause your kisses lift me higher, like the sweet song of a choir. And you light my morning sky, burning love. It's coming closer, the flames are now licking my body. Won't you help me? I feel like I'm slipping away. It's hard to breathe, my chest is heaving. Lord have mercy, I'm burning a hole where I lay. Yeah. Kisses lift me higher, like the sweet song of a choir. You light my morning sky, burning love, burning love. I'm just a hunk of burning love, just a hunk of burning love. Ah, hunger, burning love. The hunger, burning love. The hunger, burning love. I'm just a hunger, burning love. The hunger, hunger, burning love. I'm just a hunger, hunger, burning love. The hunger, hunger, burning love. Burning love. The hunger, hunger, burning love. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, cool, huh? You did that on key. My gosh. It was really kind of cool that he could do that. Oh, yeah. A cappella. It was good a cappella. Wow.
Very good.
Just, wow. John sent those songs to me, by the way. I'll Remember You and Burning Love. I love it when he does that, because those are special little things that you wouldn't think to look for yourself. And he can send them to me, and I get to play them. I get to play them. And it's great. All right.
He's just so good.
He's so good
all the time.
My show wouldn't be nearly as wonderful without him, because what he sends and the stories he tells and all that stuff is just fantastic. I love it. Speaking of stories, okay, I'm going to find this song that goes with this, and then I am going to read you a story if it'll open. If not, I'll just have to tell it to you. That would be problematic, but hey, you know what? I've read it through 3 times. I can do that. All right. There's the song. We're good with that. And now what this is, how do I want to open this file? I don't care. Just open it, you know. Just get it open. There you go. I put a new word processor on my computer this morning, and it's I'm still figuring out how it works, because it doesn't work the same as the one I've got on my other computer. But anyway, that's okay. I've got it open and we're good. Now what this is about.
Jenny?
Yeah, honey.
Jenny, what song do you think E would be singing if he was while he was cutting off my leg?
I'm trying to think. I know what the subject should have to be, but I can't think of a song with that title, you know. Where the blood flows, Rosemary goes.
Well, he better hurry up, because it's hurting like hell. Need help.
Oh. Do you massage your leg every day, honey?
Oh, yeah, and I'm doing exercises, too, and I'm telling you, it's painful. I mean painful.
The exercises? Stop the exercises for a while. Because when you're exercising an injured ligament muscle.
Right, right.
Now, when you sprain your wrist, do you exercise it while it's healing?
No.
Well.
But I just want to get some circulation going in there, you know?
That massage. Rub that puppy till your skin's red. And I'm talking 3 times a day. You know?
I've been doing that.
That's what I do. That's what I do to that broken toe.
You know what? I can't do. It makes me mad. It's Indian style now.
Oh, well, welcome to my world.
I don't bend like that anymore.
I don't bend like that anymore.
Oh, well. I mean, I always sit even Indian style in bed sometimes, and I can't even do that now.
Oh, that was my favorite way to do my homework. I would sit on my bed and put my homework on the bed in front of me, and then I would just lean over on my elbows and do my homework like that.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore. It's like, okay, I can get in that position, and then how do I get out?
Well, I haven't had a problem until I had this injury.
I know. But that's because of where that injury is, and that is exactly one of the muscles you used to sit that way. Well, if
yeah,
it's injured,
just the right
it's
leg
telling
injured,
you.
It won't do it.
Exactly. And it's injured, and it's telling you, forget it, girl. It's not happening. I'm not doing that for you anymore. Leave me alone. Yeah, don't.
Oh, it's got to come back. It's got to.
Honey, no, it doesn't. It just has to quit hurting.
Oh,
you will
God,
never have that. I'm sorry to break this to you, darling, but I'm talking from experience. You will never have that in the same condition and be able to do the same things that you used to do before you hurt it.
You're kidding me.
No, that's just reality, you know?
You know, in my whole life, I have never had an injury, never broken anything. I've had a sprung ankle, and that's it. But I've never had anything this bad.
I know. That's the kind of injury that you don't come back from. It just doesn't happen. And if you keep exercising that, it will never heal. It will always hurt. Because it's not in a position to where you should be exercising, strengthening it, or trying to strengthen it, because you're simply re-injuring it every time.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I know so, honey, because I've been there. I had to finally quit doing it, and then it was able to heal up. At one point, I even had to use a cane to walk on because it couldn't do the motion of walking unassisted because I had injured it doing exercises, and I'm talking deep knee bends and stuff, you know. Don't do that. Don't do that. You keep it injured when you do that. You have to let it heal.
Just massage it, right?
Yes, massage it, get the circulation going, that'll work. And then after it heals, you can start slowly exercising again to get the strength back for it.
Okay. Well,
but
I've been
don't.
Doing it backwards.
Yeah, you've been doing it backwards, girl. Don't do that.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Like walking backwards over a bridge. Don't do that. It's not good.
No wonder it's so painful.
Exactly. It doesn't feel like it's healing because it's not healing. You're keeping it injured by exercising it. You're moving it too much. You're moving it in a way that maybe the injury, it pulls it apart instead of letting it heal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So just
well,
knock
I
it
had
off,
my
girl.
Lesson for today. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, just knock it off. Let it heal. Then you can go to work slowly exercising it to get the strength back in it.
Okay.
So, okay.
Okay.
There you
well,
go.
Let's continue with some Elvis.
Jenny's
good
health lesson for today. Yeah, Jenny's health lesson
okay,
for today.
Thank you, Dr. Jenny.
Oh, you're welcome,
that.
Sweet too. Anyway, okay, what I'm going to tell you about, I'm going to actually read this article to you because it's just better than me trying to remember all of it because I don't have to think if I forgot something or not. Yeah, okay, we all know how that one goes. But this is about the friendship between James Brown and Elvis Presley. They did actually meet, get to know each other, became friends. And then after I read this, I'm going to play the last song that they sang together. Because they would do that. Well, Elvis did that with everybody. He loved to just sing everybody. Anybody was there, come on, let's go. And he and James Brown, when they were together, they would sing gospel, mostly. But, oh, this is good. But anyway, this is not them singing this song, okay? This is Johnny Horton singing this song. But this is the song that they sang when they were last together, okay? So what I'm going to read you now is the article. Okay, it says, the King of Rock and the King of Soul who was James Brown, knew each other, respected each other, and were friendly with one another. James Brown wrote several books, one of which includes this quote about Elvis. "I wasn't just a fan, I was his brother. He said I was good, and I said he was good. We never argued about that. Elvis was a hard worker, dedicated, and God loved him. I love him and hope to see him in heaven. There'll never be another like that soul brother." Back in 66, Elvis went to a performance of Jackie Wilson and George Klein. Elvis' friend, dating back to his Humes High School days. You all remember the name George Klein, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. He was a longtime friend of Elvis ever since high school. And he introduced Elvis to James Brown. George Klein has invited James Brown to attend the show of Jackie Wilson and even set up private tables for James Brown and his guests, and Elvis and Priscilla, who would be married the following year. Interestingly, in the same audience were members of the Rolling Stones, Buffalo Springfield, and Van Morrison. James, upon arriving first, said, "Where's Elvis?" George Klein responded and began a brief conversation when Elvis and Priscilla arrived. George offered James Brown the opportunity to meet Elvis and Priscilla after first asking Elvis if he wanted to meet James Brown, and Elvis said yes. Out of respect, Elvis said, "Take me to James at his table to meet him." The beginning of their friendship, as James Brown was deeply appreciative of the respect Elvis showed him by coming to his table and extending his hand to him publicly. Elvis had a mutual respect for James Brown, and James Brown went to Graceland, which was quite an honor, as Elvis did not like Hollywood types and wanted to keep Graceland a place of rest with close friends and family numerous times. On certain occasions, when he was close to Memphis, James Brown would call Graceland, one of the few who Elvis gave out his private telephone number to, trying to catch Elvis at home and come to see him. Oftentimes, Elvis and James Brown would spend the night and sing gospel songs for hours. And that's par for the course, right? When Elvis died, James Brown was one of the celebrities who attended Elvis' funeral. He was the only celebrity to be allowed to view Elvis, as the open casket was guarded by three men, by himself for several minutes, and was visibly saddened. And he paid his respects to Vernon and others. Now, that kind of begs the question, did he notice? Did he see, as so many others saw, that that wasn't Elvis in that casket? I wonder about that. Of course, James Brown is not here to ask that question of. Excuse me. George Klein recalled that when Elvis died, one of the first phone calls I remember receiving came from James Brown, who wanted to tell me how broken up he was over the news. He asked if he could come to the house during the private viewing. I checked with Priscilla to make sure it was all right, and late in the afternoon, James came to join us, the first of many major artists to pay their respects. I remember being taken aback by how truly distraught James was. He sat motionless in the corner of the living room for a long while before joining the rest of us and in the den. James Brown confirmed these events in his autobiography, where he wrote about Elvis' death. "His death hit me very hard. When he died, I said, that's my friend. I have to go." Shortly after Elvis died, James Brown recorded Love Me Tender as the B-side of his hit record, The Spank. Brown did this touching, broken intro. "I want to talk about a good friend I had for a long time and a man I still love, Brother Elvis Presley. You know, if he were here right now, I'm sure he would say the same thing for me. I love the man, and he was truly the king of rock and roll. We've always had kind of a toss-up, Elvis and I. The king of rock and roll, and I, the king of soul. So I wanted to say this for the people, Elvis and myself." So that is the article that they wrote, with quotes from James Brown. And I really like that. I really like that. And my DJ friend has hung up. I probably said something he didn't agree with, but that's too bad. I said nothing but the truth. Hey, you know what? You say the truth. People can choose their own way to believe it or not believe it. And I'm not going to try and change anybody's mind, except if they don't believe it and they hang around, I'll try and change their mind. But, you know, you got to kind of let people go at their own pace. You know,
sure.
You got to kind of go with that. And it may have been as simple as he called to hear music and I was reading an article. It could be that simple. Not a big problem.
Telling a story about how kind your brother was about sending you the money for your teeth.
Yeah,
that's
when he called. And I know he called to hear music. He called to chit-chat, but I'm just not, hey, I want to hear music, right? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, John sent me this song by Johnny Horton, and it was the last song that Elvis and James Brown sang together before Elvis exited the scene. So here you go, Old Blind Barnabas.
Old Blind Barnabas stood on the way. Blind Barnabas stood on the way. Old Blind Barnabas stood on the way, cried, oh, Lordy, have mercy on me. And Will McLeod, the Bible in the book of James, Christ was a heap to cripple in the lane. He was given the poor and the needy bread, healing the sick, Lord, and raising the dead. They tell me what he come to a get believe. He passed by a man that they could not see. The man, he was blind and a cripple from birth. They tell me that his name was Old Blind Barnabas. But Old Blind Barnabas stood on the way. Blind Barnabas stood on the way. Old Blind Barnabas stood on the way, crying, Barnabas, I heard that my Lord would die. He fell on his knees and began to cry, crying, oh, blind man, to forget my belief. The good God Almighty, have mercy on me. My God, he stopped and he looked around. Saw blind Barnabas on the ground. Touched his eyes with the palms of his hand. Barnabas, he saw like a natural man. Well, old blind Barnabas stood on the way. Blind Barnabas stood on the way. Oh, blind Barnabas stood on the way, crying, oh, Lord, have mercy on me.
I like that song. If you're not moving, that song will get you moving. I bet Ann's feet were bopping. For sure, for sure. Oh, my gosh. That was it. I'm trying to catch up with you guys on this chat, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. I want to play some more music. Okay, let's see. What else? Oh, I know what we got. I know. Okay. You guys, we're just going to have so much fun. Oh, where are you? Come back, come back. Where are you? I know you're in here. Nashville Cats. Been singing since they's babies. Here we go. Love and Spoonful. Nashville Cats. Thank you, John.
Nashville Cats, play clean as country water. Nashville Cats, play wild as Mountain Dew. Nashville Cats, been playing since they's babies. Nashville Cats,
guitar pickers in Nashville, and they can pick more notes than the number of ants on the Tennessee anthill. Yeah, there's 1,352 guitar cases in Nashville, and anyone that unpacks a guitar can play twice as better than I will. Yes, I was just 13, you might say I was a musical proverbial knee-high, when I heard a couple new sounding tunes on the tubes and they blasted me sky-high. And the record man said, everyone is a Yellow Sun record from Nashville. And up north here ain't nobody buys them. And I said, but I will. And it was Nashville Cat. Play clean as country water. Nashville Cat. Playing wild as Mountain Dew. Nashville Cat. Been playing since they baby. Well, there's 16,821 mothers from Nashville. All the friends play music and they ain't uptight if one of the kids will, because it's custom made for any mother's son to be a guitar picker in Nashville. And I sure am glad I got a chance to say a word about the music and the mothers from Nashville. And Nashville Cats play clean as country water. Nashville Cats play wild as Mountain Dew. Nashville Cats been playing since they babies. Nashville Cats get work before they're two. Pick it.
Oh, yeah, love it. Spoonful. Yay! Okay, let's say hi to this person. Hello, how are you today?
I'm pretty good, ma'am. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Who do I have here?
Name and general location. Is that Josh from East Central Illinois?
Oh, good. Good, good. That's cool. What are you up to today, Josh?
Well, I'm having a lot of fun. I just got hired on to a new job. I'm not going to stretch this out too much longer, but they're talking about discontinuing my training because of COVID. That's a little bit fun, but you know what? I actually look on this website on the live feed because everyone's talking about doom and gloom and all these politics and other nonsense. You guys, you're just playing music. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we want to keep it. Sometimes it gets a little heavy, but not very often. We like to have fun with the music. The music is the main thrust. And the only time it gets a little heavy is if I got something to say. I have kind of a captive audience, so, you know, that's how that goes. But, yeah, we just like to have fun. We just like to have fun. And that's what music is all about.
So far, you're good, man.
Hey, good. Thank you. I like that. And I hope to be rocking you all the time because it's just awesome. I'm looking at my sound thing here going, okay, now what do I want to play next? And it's an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, I know what I'll play. It's going to be another Elvis song just because that's, you know, that's number one. That's number one. And this is... That's right. That's right. The king. The king of rock and roll, simply because we already just heard that James Brown's the king of soul. You know, I like the blues. Elvis does blues really well, too. Okay. This is Patch It Up, Take Nine.
We're going to cut those bars down in there.
Yeah, I got
some.
Wait. Y'all can get a little softer in the soft part. It'll be better. It'll be more effective. What about after we do the soft part? What if we built into that before we got louder? Okay. 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 Okay.
You may understand. okay. All right.
There's a whole lot of love. One more night.
Okay, let's make it.
I love the way he just lets the music take him, you know? Yeah. And when you watch his videos, you can see that. He lets the music take him. It's great.
A lot of energy went into that.
Oh, yes. But a lot of energy went into most of what he did. Even the slow love songs, he put his heart and soul into every one of them. And, every time I think about songs and him putting everything into it, I think about that one time he sang that one song about the guy gazing in the mirror at his bald head and wishing he had hair.
Oh, yeah.
that's one of my favorites. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
That was a good one.
That was awesome. And there's no redeeming qualities to it except for the fact that he couldn't stop laughing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I really think that's probably one of his most popular videos. That and that one Poke Salad Annie video. Whoa. The one where it starts with at the introduction, he's standing at the front of the stage looking at the audience, and he looks at this one lady and says, "What are you looking at back there?" Something back behind him has her attention. But the rest of that video, the attention was nowhere else. Not possible. The eyes were glued. Like I said, he lets the music take him. And it was beautiful.
That was back in the day. That was back in the day.
Yes.
When people that were out there creating, they had a moment to laugh at themselves, and everybody related to it. Can't do
exactly.
that these days.
Exactly. And the guy, there was one guy in the front of, I think it was what, about four rows back, something like that. And everybody was laughing about Elvis saying, "You gaze at your bald head and wish you had hair." And this guy takes off his toupee and puts it on his heart. That's what kept Elvis laughing. That's what kept Elvis laughing. And the video is titled "Elvis Can't Stop Laughing."
He didn't. I don't think he took it off. It fell off.
No, he took it off.
Oh, he
That's
did.
The kind
he
of heckler did. A lot of people these days would love to have.
Oh yeah, that's participation.
Yes.
That's
yes,
not,
ma'am.
Yeah, that's not heckling. That's participate. You are so dang polite. Are you Southern?
No, oh no, ma'am. I'm from East Central Illinois. We have the accent, but not the location.
Oh, I was talking about the yes, ma'am. That is so.
Yeah, I know.
I'm from the Pacific Northwest.
I grew up on a farm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Very
Shake
good.
Shake hands all the time.
Very good.
Yep.
They did it right, then. They did it right. You know, and that's one thing about Elvis. He always said yes, ma'am, and thank you, ma'am, and all that. And take my word for it, it's very special. You don't hear it all the time. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. Nah, doesn't happen up there. California, forget about it. It's not.
Oh yeah, no, I made a pledge. I'm never going to a coastal state on the West Coast again.
Oh no.
They're too crazy. They went too crazy. They let Seattle run Washington, they let Portland run Oregon, and they let the litany of nonsense happen in California.
I am mostly from Idaho. I was born in Idaho, and then when I was 5, we moved to Spokane, Washington. But Idaho is like 20 miles over the border.
You're talking about Coeur d'Alene. I'm actually trying to move there.
Coeur d'Alene. Are you prepared for being expensive to live there, honey? Because it is very expensive. It is a resort town.
I actually went. Yes. Oh, well, no, it's not Sandpoint. It's not Sandpoint expensive.
Coeur d'Alene is more expensive than Sandpoint.
Really? Because I was looking up real estate in Sandpoint, and they were like, $400,000 is the average cost of a house up there now.
Well,
and
look
it's only
at
a little bit of over a buck.
Yeah, look at the size of the house and the age of the house.
I lived in Chicago. It's pretty much my apartment. I was paying $1,000 for a month with a broom closet.
Yeah.
So anywhere I get at this point, you know what I'm saying?
That's expensive. Yes. No, you will like if you can pay for the lifestyle, you will like Coeur d'Alene. You will like Coeur d'Alene. Like I said, I grew up in Spokane. We did a lot of stuff in Coeur d'Alene. I lived in Rastrum, Idaho, and we did everything in Coeur d'Alene. And then I moved to Priest Lake in extreme north Idaho, and we did everything in Sandpoint. So, you know, it's just it depends on what you do. and what crowd you run with. We found it cost about the same to go shopping and do everything in Sandpoint as it did for us to do it in Coeur d'Alene, but that's just how we lived. We lived out in the country. We weren't in town, so, you know, it's a whole different ball game. But, yeah, if you move to Coeur d'Alene, you will like it. You will like it, guaranteed.
Yes, ma'am. No, I went out of my way. I was like, could I possibly live in Boise? You know, I lived in Illinois for a long time, the highest tax states.
No.
They hate guns. Everyone's terrified of everything all the time.
Don't live in Boise.
So,
Boise.
I started looking at Idaho.
Yeah,
I'm
Boise
sorry,
is a
that?
College town. Boise is a college town, don't a university town. Don't live. No, my son lives in Boise. Don't live in Boise. Boise sucks. Put it pure and simple. Boise sucks. It's a big city. That's
yeah.
All there to it. It's a big city with a small footprint, and they've got big city attitudes. You couldn't pay me to live in Boise. I'm sorry. And I'm from Idaho. So, hey, there you go. Coeur d'Alene's a good choice.
You're from up there in the panhandle. Yeah, so I can appreciate that. No, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'll get there eventually, you know. I just need to switch careers, so.
If you don't mind farm country, check out Moscow.
Moscow? Yeah, no, I actually bought into a co-op over there.
Okay, good luck with that. My opinion,
I mean, it doesn't matter now because I'm in Illinois, but eventually.
Yeah.
I've seen a little bit of profit from it. It's kind of a joke, though.
Okay. Well, as long as you're happy with it, go for it.
Yes, ma'am.
Not my
Isn't
thing,
that the dream?
But it, you know, I'm not you. So you got to do it your own way. You got to do your own thing. But you will like Coeur d'Alene. You will like North Idaho.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to go back there, but I couldn't afford to. So I'm in Georgia. There you go.
There you go.
And I like the country here where I live reminds me of North Idaho. So I'm good. I got no problems. I'm good. And I don't have to shovel rain, so I'm good with that too. Hey. All right. Let's say we play another song, and this isn't an Elvis song, but it's a gal named Susie Quatro. And she is a huge Elvis fan. And this song is actually, she calls it a tribute to Elvis Presley. So
I'm ready for that, ma'am.
Yeah, the one line she says when she's introducing and she's talking about what she's doing is, I'll let you listen to it. It's hilarious. It makes me laugh. But Susie's good.
My first vision of leather was Elvis Presley. I saw him in it, and I saw this rock and roll, this attitude, this hair, this stance, this feeling, this whole sexual leather. And I remember I was about 7 or 8, and Arlene was in front of the TV, and she was screaming over him, screaming over watching him, and my dad was watching too, and he came up, he switched it off, and he said, disgusting. And that's when I went click. That's for me. Long. Train ride.
We don't need 12 seconds of that. I'm sorry, but it just, not going to fly. That's a little bit too hardcore for me. Anyway.
I had to throw in that extra electric guitar at the end there.
Exactly, but it had to be hard. I mean, you know, it could make it real and it would have been good, but that's okay. I listened to some of that stuff in the 80s, and it was like, nah, I don't think that's my thing. So I kind of left it alone after that. But we had a record store in the early 80s, and it kind of had stuff playing on MTV that all the kids liked because they would come in and buy stuff. So I caught myself. That was enough for me. I go back to good music. And I probably just offended somebody, but that's okay. That's okay. Because my show, in my opinion, it works. So that's all right. I've got something here that John gave me last week, as a matter of fact. But it was vying with Christmas music and New Year's Day and all that stuff. So I didn't get to play it. But I'm going to play it now. The next step is love. A rehearsal from 1970.
The next step is love. Yesterday has slipped away.
Okay.
Way to go, Glenn. Yesterday has slipped away and the sun is... Yesterday has slipped away and the sun is a welcome in the evening shadows of a perfect day. And the next step is sex. Next step is love. We walk barefoot through the misty meadows, laughing at each other in the rain. Made some faces at some people in the park and didn't bother to explain. Fun, look at it run. Going nowhere special really fast. But we've yet to taste the icing on the cake that we've been giving up your ass. Well, the next step is love. So what are we waiting for? The next step is love. Girl, it's for sure. Yesterday has slipped away and the sun is a welcome in the evening shadows of a perfect day. And the next step is love. The next step is love. Love will be a place to run to from the world they will to you and me.
harder than we've ever been, for looking back it's so hard to believe. Hanging on out, we're bringing on in the best we picked up on the way to now. Changes are coming, but together we can make it through somehow. 'Cause the next step is love. So what are we waiting for? The next step is love. Girl, it's for sure. Yesterday has slipped away, and the sun is welcoming the evening shadows, a perfect day. And the next step is love. The next step is love. Yes, it's love. The next step is love. Yes, girl, it's love. Yes, girl, it's love.
Yeah, give him an F. But not at the same time he's singing that first line of the song, okay? I love his sense of humor. It is just totally priceless. It really is. Fantastic. Okay, man, I'm sitting here going, Jenny, you've just been flapping your jaw so much. You got stuff that you just ain't going to be able to get to, and I hate that when that happens, but gives me a head start on Saturday's show, doesn't it? You betcha. Okay, I've got eeny, meeny, miny. Let's do this one. Yes. The Old Fashioned Tennessee Waltz by Billy Connolly. And correct me, I think I got it right this time. He's Scots, I think. John, maybe? See how really sure I am of myself when it comes to that? Anyway, this is kind of an interesting song, okay? So listen to it, because the ending is going to be a surprise.
The moon's silver fingers crept over the mountain on a deep purple Arkansas night. The red lights were glowing, the red wine was flowing, the couples danced into the night. Deep in the forest, a bluebird was sleeping, where only the coyote calls. The dancers were swaying, the band that was playing, an old-fashioned Tennessee waltz. He stood in the shadows, the black-hatted stranger. He stayed well away from the bar. She could see his mustache and his blue-tinted glasses in the glow from his 5-cent cigar. She walked right up to him and said, "Hello, stranger." He answered, "It's chilly for June." They swung arm in arm to the edge of the dance floor, and a black cloud sailed over the moon. Just an old-fashioned Tennessee waltz, You've heard it before, you'll hear it again. Just an old-fashioned Tennessee waltz. Young ladies, beware of mysterious young men. And with sashes, they swept the floor softly. She felt she was dancing on air. But his hands felt so cold, and his eyes looked so old, as he gave her that come with me stare. She saw no danger, but who was the stranger? Was he real? Was it true? Was it false? She took a chance, and she lost. Her last dance was the old-fashioned Tennessee waltz. Just an old-fashioned Tennessee waltz. You've heard it before, you'll hear it again. Just an old-fashioned Tennessee waltz. Young ladies, beware of mysterious young men. Just an old-fashioned Tennessee waltz. You've heard it before, you'll hear it again. Just an old
Young ladies, beware of mysterious young men. Just an old fashioned Tennessee waltz. Now that really kind of takes you back a step, doesn't it? That songs don't end that way.
No, it's true.
Well, this one, I heard that ending and I went, whoa. Oh, right. You know what that ending meant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Y'all seem to not. This is the messed up thing about music in our culture in America is that y'all forget we come from Europe. So
exactly.
So you hear that. Yeah, so the craziness, you can talk about America, that's wonderful. You know, we kind of run everything. And we are the beacon of hope. But at the same time, there are crazy stories in every song that comes out of Europe. And you have to pay heed to those that came before us. And, yeah, so that makes absolute sense to me.
Yeah, well, and two, Tennessee Waltz is an American song. But, you know, this guy that's doing this one is Scottish. So, but that twist at the end just really kind of set me back on my heels. The first time I heard it, it's like, oh, okay, Arkansas, okay, don't go in the hills by yourself. That's the impression everybody gets, you know? You know what I mean?
I don't know how many horror movies have been made to tell you the same thing.
Exactly. But this song, you know, it's got that lilting waltz rhythm to it, and you don't stop and think about it, so it takes you much more by surprise. I think it's a lot more effective because you go, wait a minute, what was that? And then you realize, well, he asked her, and she was stupid, and she ended up dead. So, you know, the moral...
Well, that's the difference between listening to the song for the ebb and flow and something to sway to, and listening to the instruments and the lyrics, because of that. If you listen to the lyrics of most of the songs these days, you're going to have your heart broken because it's mostly nonsense.
That's the thing. But see, that's the thing. You need to listen to the lyrics. That's what they're there for. That's why the songwriter made those lyrics. There's something to say. Now, whether it's nonsense, whether it's crap, whether it's good, whether it's a message. Each person that listens to it has to make up their own mind for that, but you have to listen to the words to be able to tell. You know, you don't just listen to the rhythm of the song and, oh, fun to dance to, let's go, wah, 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 because you could be really dancing to something you'd rather not even hear. You know,
ma'am. I think you're looking at this like it's a long time ago. I'm just saying because today people will nod their heads to pretty much anything.
I know, and that's the problem. That's the problem, and that's been coming up on my internet threads lately. Is that, oh, wow, we thought this was a really cool little song to dance to, but then I listened to the lyrics and, whoa, you know, she says, don't do it, because it was very, very suggestive, and it wasn't something that you wanted to be getting played in front of your kids and stuff like that, even though they're probably listening to it behind your back. But, yeah, you got to be more aware and more careful about what you listen to. Don't just go with the rhythm and the tune because you could be endorsing something that you don't want to endorse. You got to be careful.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So
could never go wrong with some Johnny Cash, though.
Johnny Cash is good. I like Love and Spoonful, Elvis Presley. You listen to some of his rehearsal tapes, and it's really fun. I love his rehearsal tapes. They're fantastic. But there are more of the slightly older stuff that you can listen to and not be in that pickle, where some of the newer stuff with the lyrics and stuff, they can get you in some trouble. So you got to watch it. They can get your kids in
some
trouble.
That's all they do these days is repeat. That's all they do is repeat nonsense over and over again. All the shiny objects that you could possibly acquire in life over and over again in lyrics. And yeah.
Yeah.
At least I appreciate, you know, a boy named Sue. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Song.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. And there's a subsequent one where he goes out and finds his dad and they have a fight. That's pretty interesting. That made me laugh when I heard that one. A typical good old boy bar fight, you know, with the knives and all that stuff. Yeah.
Back in the mouth of the street, bit his ear off. Yeah,
exactly.
Good old boy bar fight.
Exactly. A good old bar fight, yeah. You know, that kind of crap really used to happen. Probably still does, actually. But in Montana especially, my ex was in a band, and they went to, was it Butte or Bozeman? Doesn't matter. It's pretty much the same. And they had a certain gang of brothers ran the town, the Knight Brothers. And you didn't cross the Knight Brothers. You ended up in a big old fight. They tore the bar apart one night because somebody said something that one of them didn't like. And that's just how it was. You did what they wanted or you left town. So
you're talking about pretty much every dive bar in America.
Oh, but some are worse than others. When you get the bikers involved or you get miners or cowboys involved.
Yeah, everyone has their clique. Isn't that weird?
Exactly.
We all came here with these American ideals of being individuals, and we all formed cliques.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just, after that, I just didn't go in the bars anymore. I was much happier. Because weird stuff happens in bars. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, if you want
when
to
people
drunk,
are intoxicated,
yeah,
you'll,
like
never,
I said,
you'll never experience the worst of human behavior.
If you want to get drunk, do it amongst friends and not in a bar. Probably better, especially if you're a woman.
But that's negating the entire point of going to a bar. It's kind of like a masochism thing, you know. I'm going to consume this stuff that I know Because what is being drunk? Being poisoned. You're drinking poison to poison yourself.
Yeah.
That's what being drunk is.
Yeah,
and you're doing it amongst other people who
way.
Are also... Yes, ma'am.
They don't think
you're doing
that
it amongst
way.
Other people.
Oh, let's go and have fun and see what happens. Mm,
yep, and no, that's how people end up in the drunk chamber at the county jail.
Either they've been in a big fight and somebody called the cops, or they were driving and got in an accident. You don't do that. That stuff is stupid, man. That stuff is stupid. If you're going to drink, do it in private. There you go.
Yep,
with friends.
No, but you know humans, though.
I know.
We're out here doing stupid stuff. We have all this education on what to do, and for somebody to figure out what to do, you had to first figure out what not to do. So
I don't know.
We have all this information on what to do. So yeah, that tells me that we have a long history of learning what not to do.
And nobody remembers it.
Because they were drinking.
There you go. Okay. I've got another really cool song that I like. This is fun. Okay, Ann, are you ready? Untangle your feet, girl, because you're going to go with this one. This is Doug Kershaw, and he's singing Louisiana Man.
Well, at birth, Mom and Papa called her little boy Ned. He raised them on the banks of a riverbed. Oh, the houseboat tied to a big tall tree. A home for my Papa and my Mama and me. The clock strikes three and Papa jumps to his feet. Already Mama's cooking Papa something to eat. At half past Papa, he's ready to go. He jumps in his bureau headed down a bite. Oh, he's got fishing line strung across the Louisiana River. Gotta catch a big fish for us to eat. He's setting traps in the swamp, catching anything he can. Gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man. Gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man. The muskrat hides hanging by the dozens. Even got a lady make a muskrat's cousin. Got him out drying in the hot, hot sun. Tomorrow Papa's gonna turn him in the mud. My daddy Jack, little baby brother on the floor, that's Mac. Brynn and Lynn are the family twins, and big brother Eddie's on the bayou fishing. On a river flow, Papa's great big boat, and that's how my Papa goes into town. It takes him every bit of a night and a day to even reach a place where the people stay. And I can hardly wait until tomorrow comes around. That's the day my Papa takes the first to town. Papa promised me that I could go. He'd even let me see a cowboy show. I saw the cowboys in Indian for the first time then. I told my Papa gotta go again. Well, Papa said, son, we've got lines to run. We'll come back again, but first there's work to be done. He's got fishing line strung across the Louisiana River. Gotta catch a big fish for us to eat. He's setting traps, he's in the swamp, he's catching anything he can. Gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man. Gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man. Gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man. Gotta make a living, Louisiana man.
To make a living. And in Louisiana, it's a little bit different. So, I've never been to Louisiana. Well, I can't say that. I have two. I went to the racetrack once when I was staying with my brother-in-law and his wife. So, I can't say I've never been to Louisiana, but I was there for one afternoon. So, that's all right.
Still counts.
I know. But at least I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about Louisiana, except they got a racetrack.
You know where it's located on a map?
I know where Louisiana is. Where the racetrack is, I have no clue.
I'm just saying, there's multiple things you know. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yes. Well, Louisiana,
yeah,
you got the whole state. You got the whole state, and the ocean wants it back. So there you go.
No. Can I say something really mean?
Well,
I'm not gonna use curse words or anything like that.
Okay, go ahead.
Something really a mean concept that I crossed into my mind in Louisiana was when Katrina hit New Orleans. I was like, why would you build a city right next, like beneath the ground level,
uh-huh.
next to levees that fail all the time? And
uh-huh.
it, you know, why would you expect it to be any different than what happened?
And then when it washes away, you build it back in the same place, in the same way?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not saying Pompeii. We all remember Pompeii. You built
yeah.
a town next to a volcano, and that was stupid. We understand that now.
Uh-huh.
Except for
uh-huh.
all of Hawaii.
But
yeah,
that's
very sad.
Hawaii, the volcano washes things away all the time because it's constantly, that lava is constantly flowing, and it takes out houses and roads constantly, all the time. The one thing is once it does that, you can't go back in that same place and rebuild. So that saves them that stupidity. But and there's other places that do this, like the hillsides in California. You know, they burn, the rain washes them out. They come back and build a house the same place, the same way, put half of it on stilts.
Well, you know why they're doing it. You know why they do that in California, right?
Well, there is a limited amount
that's
of real estate.
To be the gold mine.
Well, I got news for them. Anyway, there are places all over that do the very same thing. River washes out. People come in after the flood goes away, and they build their house the same place where it washed out. I'm sorry. I just don't see where that is very smart. I wouldn't do it.
It has never been about smart. It's about being sentimental and at some points nostalgic.
Well, I understand nostalgia big time. Believe me, I do. And I understand being attached to places and things. I really do understand that. I get that. But I'm sorry, if my house washes away with everything in it that I own, I'm not going to go back in that same place and build another house so it can happen again the next year. That doesn't make any sense to me. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, hold on. What if the levees are just slightly better than last time? Not so much better, but slightly better.
I wasn't thinking of New Orleans when I was saying that. I was thinking along a river in Washington State. And every year that river, well, every year there's, I can't remember the name of the river, but it's on the east or on the west side of the state. And every year when the snow melts, that river floods. And every year it will take out some houses. And I'll be dadgummed if they don't come back after they get their insurance money and build in the same place again. Now, it might be a question of that's the land they own and they can't afford to go anywhere. But, you know, if your house has been insured, collect that insurance money and go somewhere else. You have nothing
now,
left.
At what point is this considered an insurance scheme? Can I buy some land right off the edge of that river and insure for like $250,000? I'll put a little shack up on it, you know.
Oh, well, honey, that'd be up to your flood insurance company, and good luck with that. Yeah.
No, I would never get that. I know, I get it.
Yeah, it's been happening since I was a kid, and it's never made any sense to me. It never will make any sense to me. So I just can't see having things that you value and being in a place that, it's just nature's going to take them away, and you're not getting them back. So why would you build something in the same place? I don't get it. Anyway, let's play an Elvis song. It's time for an Elvis song. We need an Elvis song. And this is one I have not played in a long time, and I do like it. I really do. It's Got My Mojo Working with Hands Off. She's Not Yours.
Mother-in-law. Don't take much to spark you guys off, man. Couple of words and you're off and running, man. Okay.
I got my mojo working, buddy. Just don't worry. I got my mojo working, buddy. Just don't worry.
Well, I'm yeah, my, no matter what you do. Oh, she's long, lean, and lanky, sweet as she can be. Hands off of her, she belongs to me. Don't belong to you. Well, she's mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Play one, play one. Just don't work on you. I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. But you mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Let me say it now. She's long, lean, and lanky, sweet as she can be. Hands off of her, she belongs to me. Hands off of her, don't belong to you. Well, she's mine, all mine, no matter what you do. I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. Well, you're mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Wait, wait, wait. Unless you want to deal with me, I got my mojo working, but just don't work on you. Well, you're mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Yeah, I got my mojo working. I got my mojo working. I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. Well, you're mine, all mine, no matter what you do. Yeah. I said you're lonely, lady, sweet as she can be. You belong to me, and my mojo working just don't work on you. Well, you're mine, all mine, no matter what you do. More time.
I love it. Okay. Now, earlier, you guys all know that I love the song She by Charles Aznavour, that French guy. He wrote that and recorded it, and I think it's an absolutely beautiful song. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to feel about someone. Today, John sent me another version. Well, it's the same style, the same, but it's by a different person, Jack Jones, and he does a beautiful job. So here's what John sent me today.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song that summer sings, maybe the chill that autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, may be the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dream, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell. She who always seems so happy in a crowd, whose eyes can be so private and so proud, no one's allowed to see them when they cry. She may be the love that cannot hope to last, may come to me from shadows of the past that I'll remember till the day I die. She may be the reason I survive, the why, the wherefore I'm alive, the one I'll care for through the rough and rain. Me, I'll take her laughter and her tears, and make them all my souvenirs. For where she goes, I've got to be. The meaning of my life is she.
Yeah, now you guys know I love that song. And he did a really, really good job on it, you know? And that song is how you want somebody to feel about you. That would be great. Wouldn't that be fantastic? But, okay, I've got 8 minutes, okay? That's enough time to play a couple of songs, but I want to say goodbye first so that I don't cut that off and not get to do it. All right. So I want to say thank you first for Josh calling in. I really thought that was really great. And you weren't shy about talking to me. That's fantastic. Most people call in, they're very shy. So thank you, Josh. I really appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you.
You too, darling. And Sue, as usual, you come in right at the beginning, and you hung in there and stuck there, and I hope your leg gets better, darling. I really do.
Oh, thank you so much. Nice to meet you, Josh. Glad you could have called in. And Jenny, I enjoyed the show very much.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Just stop using that leg for a while. Let it heal. Just massage it, okay?
Okay.
I think that'll help. And Victoria, thank you for hanging in. I know you were sitting there on mute, but you sat there the whole time. So I appreciate you coming in and doing that, darling. It's nice to know you're there and that you're feeling good. And I've seen all the guys in the chat room. Oh, and Josh, I wanted to tell you, when you first called in and came on, everybody in the chat room was saying hi to you, honey. So you're welcome. You're very, very welcome here. So come back. I hope
I
you enjoyed yourself.
That. Yes, ma'am. Hold on. I just, you know, you said you had 8 minutes. You got like 5 and a half now. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, that's all
I
right.
appreciate that. That's all it is.
That's
all right. Thank you, ma'am.
We do that. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed yourself enough to come back again. It's fantastic. So, and everybody's talking about tattoos now. I might have to do that again. Okay. Anyway, you guys in the chat, you're crazy. You're totally crazy. But that's okay, because I like crazy. I fit in with crazy, so it's all right. So, hey, remember, guys, we've got tomorrow is no show unless Shauna feels good enough to do one tomorrow night, but I don't think so. I talked to her late yesterday, and she sounded really rough. So probably not tomorrow, but don't take that as the last word. It's not my show, and it's not my health. But I'm not looking for it. But Saturday, now I am going to have my regular show on Saturday. Shauna and I, it is Elvis' birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to... Oh, no, I'll save that for Saturday. Anyway.
That's also my brother's birthday.
Oh, well, hey, tell him we said happy birthday. That's cool.
I'm tempted to send him an Elvis cake.
Hey, there you go. There you go. And tell him he is ordered to like it. I order him to like it. So anyway, Saturday is Elvis' birthday. Now Shauna and I did talk about doing a birthday special, but he not real excited about that. So it's just going to be my regular show, and we're going to say happy birthday and play a couple songs, probably the Happy, happy birthday, baby. And who knows what else. Just depends on what I can dig up.
And then if you want to make it as awkward as possible and hilarious as possible, that Marilyn Monroe singing for Kennedy, that
Mr. President.
You know what I'm saying?
So
that would actually be solid.
That makes me laugh. When I see that, that makes me laugh. It's like, how did that woman have guts enough to get up and do that in front of the whole nation? But
because crazy people used to be celebrated.
She did it. She did it. And, yeah, that poor lady, I felt so sorry for her in her life. It just wasn't, it wasn't good. But anyway.
No, it was not sad. Really
yes.
sad. Boy, she was really plastered at that birthday, wasn't she? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
That's probably
my,
how
my
she
grandmother,
was able to do that.
My grandmother actually made the paper because she came to meet Miss Something Illinois. So there's an entire thing in Bement, Illinois.
Cool.
About my grandma meeting her. I think that's astonishing.
That's cool.
That's
really kind of cool. But, yeah, you know, I do feel sorry for her. She might have been in with famous people, and she married a famous baseball player, but you know what? That didn't make her life any better. She still was unhappy and had a real tough time, and I feel very, very sorry for her. So hopefully she's been able to work that out in the afterlife, and we'll see. Someday we'll get there and we'll hear about it. Anyway, what I've got right now is I want to invite you guys to come to my show on Saturday, and don't forget about the gospel show on Sunday. We do that too, and I play as much Elvis gospel as I can. Even if we hear it all the time, it's still beautiful, and it still gives you a message. So come on over and join the crowd. We love it, and we love each newcomer that comes in, and that was aimed at you, Josh, so there you go. So I am going to, there you go, honey. I am going to play an Elvis song to take us out of this today. And I love y'all. God bless you all. And I will see you on Saturday. And this one is If You Think I Don't Need You.
Good night, June. Good night, Joe.
Good night, darling. Bye-bye.
If you think I don't need you, take a look at my eyes. Maybe these ain't raindrops falling out of the sky. Since you've been gone, I've been so alone. If you think I don't need you, then baby, you're wrong. If you think I don't love you, what could I do to prove to you, baby, my love is true? I sing the same old song since you've been gone. If you think I don't love you, then baby, you're wrong. My life has been the same since you left me. I ain't had a wink of sleep in 7 days. I don't know what to do, I'm going crazy. I just walk to the floor at night and call your name. If you think I don't do right, I'll change my ways. I'll do what you want me to, I'll be your slave. Since you've been gone, I've been so alone. If you think I don't need you, well, baby, you're wrong. If you think I don't do right, I'll change my ways. I'll do like you want me, I'll be your slave. Since you've been gone, I've been so alone. If you think I don't need you, well, baby, you're wrong. Well, baby, you're wrong.